What's up? What's good with you? This is your boy Jessica Rangu, and this is The Big Show with JK Live. We're going to try and go 2 hours today. We're talking NFL on New Year's Eve. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. Call into the show right now, 347-327-9691. We're going to be talking NFL with two bloggers, and Wilson of the Carroll County Times and of the National Football Post blog, as well as Eric from Homeboys Network, which is a sports blog based in Philly. In the background is Nelly Furtado featuring Timbaland, Morning After Dark, from Timbaland's new CD coming out in 2010 called Shock Value 2. I remember Shock Value 1, where he had the song The Way We Are. Anyway, I appreciate you joining us. Again, call into the show, join the chat. The number is 347-327-9691 as we wait for our two panelists to join us. We're going to talk NFL. What are your thoughts about this new this NFL playoff going on right now? Not really. The playoff aren't going on yet, but, you know. What are your thoughts on the NFL season so far? Let's go over some of the scenarios right now real quick, playoff scenarios. In the AFC, we'll start there, and this is all confusing, so I need you to pay attention. Pay attention. All right. In the AFC, number one seed, we got your Indianapolis Colts. We're going to talk about them during the show today. They clinched the AFC South Division title. That means they have a first-round bye, and throughout the playoffs, they have a home-field advantage. Your number two seed is the San Diego Chargers. They clinched the AFC West Division, and they also have a first-round bye. The San Diego Chargers and the Indianapolis Colts both had the best records, the two best records in the AFC, which is why they are number one and number two. Number three, Cincinnati Bengals, they clinched the AFC North Division title last week when the Baltimore Ravens lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they beat the Kansas City Chiefs at home. The New England Patriots at number four, they clinched the AFC East Division title. Let's continue on. Number five is where, from right here, this is where you gotta pay attention. All right? Check this out. The New York Jets are number five, and all they have to do is win against Cincinnati. That game was moved to primetime Sunday Night Football, by the way. All they have to do, by the way, Eric, you're on the chat. You can call in now. 347-327-9691 is the number. Same as you guys listening. 347-327-9691. That's the number to call. Anyway, New York Jets. All they have to do to clinch a wild card spot and keep the number five spot. Sorry, right now they're number six, actually. Denver Broncos are number five. So let's get to the New York Jets first. They're number six. All they have to do next week is win against Cincinnati on Sunday Night Football. Win and they're in. Same thing with the Baltimore Ravens. All they have to do is win against Oakland and they're in. And the reason right now as we speak, the Denver Broncos are number five and the New York Jets are number six. But earlier in the season, the Denver Broncos and the Baltimore Ravens played against each other and the Baltimore Ravens won. So because of that head-to-head competition where the Denver Broncos lost, if the Denver Broncos lose next week, they have no chance of making the playoffs. We'll continue going through those scenarios. Anyway, New York Jets will clinch a wild card also if they tie Cincinnati and no more than one other 8-7 team, that is Baltimore, Denver, Pittsburgh, and Houston, wins. So only one 8-7 team, Baltimore, Denver, Pittsburgh, or Houston, can win in order for them to make the playoffs if they tie for some reason against the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday Night Football. The Baltimore Ravens, before we get to my favorite team, let's go to the Denver Broncos. This is real tight right here. The Denver Broncos can clinch a wild card if they beat Kansas City and, check this out, any two of the New York Jets, Baltimore Ravens, and Pittsburgh Steelers lose or tie, or either the New York Jets or the Baltimore Ravens loses or ties, and Houston wins, or they tie Kansas City and any three of the other 8-7 teams, Baltimore, Houston, Pittsburgh, or New York Jets loses. Or if Houston ties and any of the two 8-7 teams, the New York Jets, Baltimore Ravens, or Pittsburgh Steelers loses. Or if Houston and Pittsburgh both tie and either the New York Jets or Baltimore loses. And the scenarios just keep going on and on. I'll just read them for you just as we wait for our two participants to call in for this next hour. Pittsburgh loses and any of the three 8-7 teams, I've already listed them for you, before lose. Or Miami and Jacksonville both lose or tie, and New York Jets, Baltimore, and Houston all lose. All right? Homeboys Network, you can call into the show. We're waiting for you. yes, he just said on the chat, the AFC is a bottleneck, all messed up. And that's true. Anyway, let's get to the Baltimore Ravens now. All they have to do to get into the playoffs is beat the Oakland Raiders. Or if they tie Oakland and none of the other 8-7 teams win, or only one 8-7 team wins and the New York Jets do not tie. Let's get to your defending champions, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh Steelers will clinch a wild card if they beat Miami and Houston and New York Jets both lose or tie, or Houston and Baltimore both lose or tie, or the New York Jets, Baltimore, and Denver all lose or tie, or they tie Miami and any of the three other 8-7 teams loses, or Denver ties and any two of Baltimore, Houston, and New York Jets lose, and Houston does not tie. I don't think I want to read these scenarios anymore. I think you get the point. All you got to do for if you're the Baltimore Ravens or the New York Jets is win. W-I-N. Win, win, win. That's all you got to do to make the playoffs. But if you don't win, the New York Jets or the Baltimore Ravens, I'm talking to you. The door is wide open because check it out. Jacksonville Jaguars and Miami Dolphins are below 500 at 7-8. But they are still alive after the Steelers beat the Ravens last week. That was a huge game last week. Caller, you're on the line, but I'll get to you in just a couple of moments. All right, so all they got to do, but if you're Baltimore Ravens or the New York Jets, is win, W-I-N. You know how the Jets have their little chant, J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. This week, your chance to be W-I-N, win, win, win. You got to win. All right? NFC, let's go to the NFC right quick before we get to, I think one of our panelists is on the line. I'll tweet the other panelists. It's funny. That's one thing about 2009 as we close 2009. Twitter has become such a huge sensation. Anyway, let's get to the NFC right quick. The New Orleans Saints are your number one seed, and they have clinched the NFC South Division title, have a first-round bye and home field advantage, although they have lost two straight. Minnesota Vikings, they clinched the NFC North Division title, but they have also lost two straight. They're having a little controversy there with Brett Favre and the coach. We'll talk about that later in the show as well. Arizona Cardinals have clinched the NFC West Division title. Philadelphia Eagles and Dallas Cowboys have clinched playoff spots, and they are each playing each other next week. Whoever wins out of that game will clinch the NFC East Division champion, and they can go as high up as number two. Whoever loses out of that game next week will be a wild card. Green Bay Packers have also clinched a wild card. And your teams that are eliminated are the Giants, the Titans, the Falcons, the Bills, Panthers, 49ers, Seahawks, Bears, Raiders, Redskins, Chiefs, Lions, Browns, Rams, and Buccaneers. 570-629, what's up? Who is this?
Hey, what's Hello? Going on? It's Fan Affiliate, Eric from Homeboys Network. How are you?
Was good, was good.
Nah, same old here. Over in PA. Right.
How you feel about the Eagles this week?
Oh man, we're playing the Cowboys. We're always confident against the Cowboys, so We're rather confident that we'll have another 44-6 episode like we did last year.
Trash talking. Any Dallas Cowboys fans call into the show? Let's go. I want to see a war up in here. Anyway, we'll talk about the Eagles later, but let's talk about the Pro Bowl first. Who are some of the biggest Pro Bowl snubs in your opinion?
The biggest Pro Bowl snubs. Oh man.
London Fletcher from the Redskins, you know. He's been playing for like 12 years and he still hasn't gotten in.
He's on that cusp, you know. You got to debate. You have Patrick Willis at that position right there. That's gonna get in every time. Jonathan Vilma, linebacker. That's always a tough position right there, especially in the scheme that Washington plays in. You got to admit though, the guy's really resurrected his career this year and really made a name again, leading his team in tackles. But regardless, as an Eagle fan, I know I hate going up against him every, two times a year, but hey, that's up in the air, you know. It's debatable because you have such good linebacking core out there. If our boy Stuart Bradley didn't get injured, it would have been interesting to see if he would have been in that mix at all.
But you have a little bias because you're an Eagles fan, but I don't know. I think he should have been in there. I don't care if the Redskins were 0-16 this season. The guy's been playing for 12 years. He's a veteran, close to retiring. He needs to be in the Pro Bowl just at least once. I mean, Ray Lewis, I'm a Ravens fan. I honestly don't think Ray Lewis deserved to be there. That's just one example, in my opinion. Anyway, let's move on. The Cincinnati Bengals didn't get any players in the Pro Bowl. Oh, my God. It's amazing. Do you think the Bengals' history of arrests got them in trouble with the fans? And do you think the fans should even be getting a chance to vote in the first place?
That's any sport. You have baseball, which has, the fans vote as well. I don't know if you remember this, but last year when Crybaby Cutler was playing for the Denver Broncos, he started off with an amazing year last year. I play fantasy football, so you kind of, by fantasy terms, he was a beast last year in the beginning of the year. And then halfway through the season, he just teared right off and fell over and, kind of crapped the bed, if you will. And everybody was arguing Phillip Rivers should have got that spot, not Jay Cutler. And it's true. I mean, you look at what Phillip Rivers did at the end of the year, even going back now, the guy's undefeated in December. How can you argue with that? When he needs to, when his back's against the wall. But, it's a fan-based thing. It's always going to happen. I'm kind of ticked off personally. I think Cedric Benson should have been in there. The guy
fourth in the league.
They kick him to the curb. They're like, you're a scrub. This comes in, Cedric Benson, and he tears it up before he gets injured. He was practically the leading rusher in the NFL before he got injured for two or three games there with that hip.
Yeah.
You tell me, he didn't get a bit at all? Come on.
I don't know. I don't even know what to say when it comes to that. Somebody else mentioned Tony Romo. I thought Tony Romo got in. I don't know. Anyway, what else are you going to talk about? Why isn't the NFL's All-Star Game as big as the other leagues, like the NBA and Major League Baseball? Why do you think?
Well, the reason why is because majority of teams, when they do an All-Star, you look at NHL, they do it halfway through the season. You look at Major League Baseball, they do it halfway through the season. They have the home run derby, the whole nine. You look at NBA, they do it halfway through the season. They have the slam dunk contest, which LeBron James is going to be in this year. That'll be good.
I heard he said he's not going to be there. He's thinking about it now. He might not do it anymore.
He said last year that he will, and he's caught on film doing it, and everybody in the NBA and all the fans will give him if he doesn't.
Gonna call him a flunky up there.
Trust me, he'll be there. Yeah. Even if he puts on, a fake show per se. But NFL, it happens at the end of the year. We already know who won the Super Bowl. We already know what's going down. And then they say, hey, we're gonna have this Pro Bowl. It's retarded, to be honest with you. They need to do it during halfway through the season. This way we could judge who's good, let them play. But the NFL is always so scared about people getting injured, so I doubt that'll ever happen.
Just to agree with you. You know, it would also give a chance for those who are already injured from the weeks before, just to give them an extra week of rehab, just to make the game a little more fun and a little more better. So I don't understand what's up with the NFL on that. They have no money to lose to their billionaire industry. So I don't know. You guys in Philadelphia, your team nominated Michael Vick as the winner for the Ed Block Courage Award, and he had some little snarky comments to say, you know, sort of saying, I'm the best. You don't know what I've been through. I've been through a lot of pain and suffering, so I deserve this award. I mean, what did you think about that?
Well, you know, let's just first off start by saying Michael Vick should not be a Philadelphia Eagle. That's bottom line.
Yeah,
a lot of Eagle fans will go out on a limb and they'll say, hey, you know what? Give the guy a chance. He's human. Hey, I agree. He is human. He's a man. We make mistakes. We all do. You pay, you suffer, you do your time, whatever. The problem that I have with him, though, personally, is when he comes out there and he has the same attitude as he did before. He has that same exact look in his eye and just walk and talk about him, you know?
Yeah.
You can
change. Like everything's about him.
Yeah, you can, you know, a man could go somewhere and they could change. But you can never change what a person's heart is or who they're built, you know?
Yeah.
And the fact that he got that award, I am beside myself. There are many Eagle fans that deserve that a lot more, Eagle players that deserve that a lot more. They should have gave it, in my opinion, to Sean McDermott, the defensive coordinator who stepped up in absence of Jerry Jones. You know, I know it goes to players, but, hey, coaches are players too. You know, a lot of Eagles players, the problem of it is it all has to be for the media. You know, everything has to be for the media. It's all about making money. But there's a lot of Eagle fans in that locker room, I tell you right now, that disagree with that wholeheartedly.
How would you rate his performance so far? I haven't personally been able to watch all of the games. How would you rate his performance? A to F.
The guy looks like a high school kid running around, you know? He looks like he lost his legs. He's not back to full speed. People saying, oh, he's going to bring a new weapon. I've yet to see that weapon.
The one game against the Falcons, he was decent. I mean, he scored a touchdown, threw a touchdown. He was decent. He seemed like he had a swag on, you know. He was swag.
Well, any time that you're going up against your old team, the team in which you were the face of that franchise, there is going to be a little emotion behind that game. Let's not kid ourselves. He got a lot more touches of the ball than what he should have got and what he got all year practically. He probably got more touches in that game than he got in any three games combined.
Yeah.
It was good to see him kind of go out there and, you know, do his thing and you know, show a side of himself. I know that there will be a team out there next year that probably will go out there and want to grab him.
So you're saying he's not back next year? There's no way that the Eagles can integrate their system to involve him. That's what you're saying?
I don't think that the Eagles will bring him back. I think the Eagles were out to set a mission on trying to help somebody who was at a low point in their life, and I feel that they have accomplished that mission. The Eagles made a lot of money in the process of doing it, but at the same time lost a lot of money. And I think
In what sense do they lose a lot of money? Because of PETA?
Not necessarily because of that, but I'm sure that, you know, being in Baltimore, I'm sure that you've seen it, you've heard it. Hey, Philly fans, they're tough people, you know?
Yeah.
Blue I'm one of those where, you know, hey, I believe in my team 100%. You know, I yell, I curse, I scream, I kick. It happens, you know? But some Philly fans, let's be honest, they're a little out of control, you know?
Yeah.
A little too far, you know? Plus, on top of that, people always see the bad in Philadelphia, you know? They see last year that a Philadelphia Philly fan was pointing a laser pointer. They fail to mention that it was not a Philadelphia Philly fan, that it was the opposing team's fan. You know,
but at the same time, when the Phillies were winning their NLCS, I mean, you guys booed my boy Ernie Johnson. Come on now.
Hey, that's how the Philadelphia fans are. I mean, if you go to a Philadelphia Eagle fan or any sporting event, when they call the person's name as they're coming out of the tunnel or coming out in the field, like, for example, if Philadelphia game is being played in Philly against the Cowboys and Tony Romo's coming out and they say Tony Romo, the reply from all the fans right after that is, sucks. That's what they do. That's what they say.
And Homo Romo.
That's any player. That's every player that gets called out. The reply right after it is sucks. If you go to Philadelphia Stadium wearing the other person's jersey, pardon the French here, but you get pointed at and people go, asshole, asshole. That's what they do. That's how it goes. But
sorry. Go.
I mean, all in all, I tell you what, Philadelphia's a great city. It's a great sporting town. But at the same time, the fans expect, I think sometimes, a little more than what they can get out of it.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, Philadelphia Eagles will clinch the NFC East Division title if they beat or tie Dallas, and they will get a first-round bye as the number 2 seed if they beat Dallas or they tie Minnesota. The same goes for the Dallas Cowboys. So this upcoming week, it's going to be a huge game. I'm surprised that wasn't moved to primetime. I guess there was some logistics that weren't really too friendly with Jerry Jones, you know, the way he rules his ship. Let's move on anyway. Brett Favre, Brad Childress, drama, drama, drama. How has this affected this team, in your opinion?
It hasn't. It hasn't one bit.
You lose to the Bears and you tell me it hasn't? What?
You saw exactly what happened there. Hey, let's be honest. The Bears got lucky. The Bears literally got lucky. Brett Favre, did you see his first half performances?
Did you see
after the second half? I mean, he's been saying it all week on ESPN, and if we could play both halves like we played the second half, there's no drama there. There's no drama there at all. Brett Favre is a very emotional player. He wants to win. You know, I mean, hey, even though I don't agree with the way he exactly did things, you can't argue to the fact that he's one of the top 5 quarterbacks of all time, potentially. You know?
What about this year?
You're talking about a 40-year-old man who's come out there right now in a game in which is slowly turning back to where the NFC is dominant again, and you're talking about him dominating that black and blue division there. That division, I mean, you talk about top divisions right now, I mean, you got to say that division and the NFC East are one of the best out there, and the AFC East. Probably some
NFC North? NFC North?
Oh, yeah.
What? What football have you been watching? The Lions? The Bears? I don't know about that. Maybe the Packers and the Vikings.
The Bears have always had a great defense. They never had a quarterback. You look at the past couple of years, they've always been a contender for practically making it. They made it, 4 or 5 years ago when they did go to the Super Bowl?
Okay. I thought you were just talking about this year in particular. Okay.
No. I'm talking about in the past.
In general. You're right. You're correct. Yeah.
But, yeah, I
Hello?
Mean, Brett Favre himself, I mean, you have to go out there and you have to respect the man for what he does. I mean, the media is really making it a lot more than what I think it is, which is always the case. But who knows? Maybe there's tension there. Maybe we're seeing the Brett Favre that we saw last year where he's folding at the end. Who knows? Maybe he's getting tired.
Yeah. We'll be rooting for him. I'll be personally rooting for him. The Minnesota Vikings, by the way, will clinch a first-round bye as the number 2 seed if they beat the New York Giants and Philadelphia loses or ties, or if they tie the New York Giants and Philadelphia loses. Let's move on to another interesting person, Chad Ochocinco. He just posted a tweet just a minute ago, said, in 2010, Ochocinco will be more than just a name. It's going to be a way of life. Happy New Year, peeps. All right, What is your stance on Ochocinco in the first place? This week he was trash-talking about Darrell Revis, talking about he can't cover me. This is going to be a game to see on Sunday night on NBC. Can't cover me, worth crap, blah, 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 trash talk. What is your opinion about Ochocinco, just as a person?
It's great. It's great. I mean, you know what? He said right in the face of the NFL, you can find me. I'm fine with paying it. I have no problem. Hey, if a man is going to sit there and if he's going to talk trash, he better back it up. And you know what? He's backed it up this year. Last year he didn't, but this year he did. And he looks like Chad Ocho of the past. Hey, yep, tell you what. If he's going to sit there and if he's going to do his thing, I'm fine with that. Because you know why? He brings money to an organization that desperately needs it. He brings more money to a network and to NFL just in itself. NFL, they'll sit there and they'll say, hey, we have no problems with him doing his thing. You know why? Because people are going to tune in and people are going to watch. That's the reason why. If he takes a little too far sometimes, hey, so be it, you know. But sending things to, like, you know, sending mail to, like, other teams, you got to admit, that's freaking funny.
Yeah, you're right. How do you see that game playing out this week? Cincinnati Jets in Cincinnati Sunday night.
You know what? That's going to be a tough game. To be honest with you, what does Cincinnati have to play for? They don't have much to play for. This game...
That's another issue. Let me interrupt you real quick. That's another issue I want to get to. Sitting players. The Colts did it last week, and they could have gone unbeaten, but they did it last week against the Jets. Do you think, first of all, we'll talk about that situation later on. Do you think Cincinnati should sit their players this week?
I don't know if they'll necessarily sit their players because I don't
know. Or their starters. Their starters.
Yeah, I don't think they will. If you're going to see anybody sit, maybe you'll see Carson Palmer come out early because of his hand. Maybe you'll see Cedric Benson come out early. You might see Larry Johnson get a little more of carries to see if he's worth keeping or to see if, you know, other teams might be interested in him next year. But all in all, they're playing a defense that you know, being a Baltimore fan, very well.
Yeah.
Rex Ryan runs a mean defense. A defense in which you better hold that ball with two hands and you not leave your feet.
Hell yeah, hell yeah.
And let's be honest, if you're already in it right now, why are you going to take a chance? Why are you going to take that chance? Why are you going to roll the dice and say, hey, this is a mean team. They need to win this game. They're going to do anything and everything within their power to win this game. I'm not going
to
allow
the
chance to have my quarterback's head ripped off on their dime. No thanks.
Skeptics would say, though, that, I mean, this is football. I mean, you play to win the game. You don't play to rest your starters. Just like I guess Dennis Green famously said, you play to win the game. You don't play to rest your starters for the next week. That's a sissy move.
So that's why I said it's still 50-50, because I agree with that 100%. I agree with the fact of you play to win this game. At the beginning of the year or whenever you originally signed your contract, you signed it to play however many games that season, win, lose, fail, anything. If you're healthy, you're playing. That's the way it is. That's what you're getting paid for. If I'm a fan, that's what I'm paying my darn ticket to come see you play. You know, if you're the star, I want to see you play. I don't want to see Joe Schmo on the bench who's picking splinters out of his butt come in and throw two interceptions and lose the game like that Painter guy did last week for Indianapolis.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that. If I was an Indianapolis Colts fan, I would be irate because every year they do this.
They should get their money back. But Rex Ryan, as you said, their defense is tenacious. His coaching ability, 1 to 10 with 1 being the best, how would you rate it?
You got to say the guy is at least an 8 to a 9. At least. I mean, he comes in there.
With 1 being the best.
Oh, with 1 being the best? Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, then you got to say he's anywhere from a 2 to a 3, hands down, easily.
Okay.
I mean, you know, you have your scouts out there. They draft, you know, but you also have your hand in the draft. First off, he comes out of nowhere, makes some huge moves, pulls Mark Sanchez out of his butt. All right? Mark Sanchez, hey, he's not that great, but you know what? He's not that bad either. Then they go out and they get Braylon Edwards halfway through the season for what I think is a complete steal.
Yeah.
The guy, to be honest with you, minus...
I think he's underrated.
I'm sorry?
Way underrated. I'm saying I think he's way underrated because of
the issues
he's been involved in.
Minus a couple of drop passes, he is a good quarterback away from becoming a top 10 elite wide receiver in the NFL, hands down. For a while there, Philadelphia fans were all in an uproar because they thought that he was coming to Philly.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, he's taken a team that, yeah, let's be honest, last year it was not Eric Mangini. Let's get that through our heads. It was Favre. It was Brett Favre that got them to where they are, and it was Thomas Jones, their running back. It was not Eric Mangini. This year, it's Rex Ryan, hands down.
Yeah.
No ifs, ands, or buts about it, because they don't have any real leadership on offense.
Thomas Jones is decent. I mean, he's not a leader vocally, but he's a leader. In terms of his play on the field, I think he's number 3 in the NFL in rushing, if I'm not mistaken. I probably got the stats wrong. But.
And what a lot of people forget, too, though, is that they – I can't believe I'm drawing a blank here. I'm pretty sure this is his correct name. But they lost Leon Washington to a broken leg. That's his name, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Backup running back?
Yeah.
That kid can return some punts. He can return some kicks. And he's an all-around back that you want out of your coming out of the field. I mean, you're gonna put him in a screen situation. He's gonna tear you up. I mean, the kid's a good player, and they lost him halfway through the season, and they're still managing to somehow get it done. They could potentially be a very scary team. They could be the Ravens of the past this year if they get rolling, because that defense is nasty.
Yep. I agree. We'll be right back. This is Eric from the Homeboys Network calling to the show right now, 347-327-9691. We're taking a break. Empire State of Mind, Alicia Keys, Jay-Z, it skips. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened to the MP3. But anyway, it all starts right now.
Right next to the narrow, but I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra, and since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem, all of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pull me back to that McDonald's, took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like the Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street, off white Lexus, driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that Bed-Stuy, home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I bought my boys with me. Say what up to Tata, still sipping my ties, sitting courtside, Knicks and Nets give me high five. Nigga, I be spiked out, I could trip a referee, tell by my attitude that I'm most definitely from.
You can win, you can fight, will inspire you. Let's hear it, you.
that bounce quick. The sidelines is lined with casualties. You sift the life casually, then gradually become worse. Don't fight the apple eve. Caught up in the in crowd. Now you're in style. And in the winter gets cold. In vogue with the skin out. City of sin is a pity on the whim. Good girls going bad. The city's filled with them. Mommy took a bus trip. Now she got a bus out. Everybody ride her just like a bus route. Hail Mary to the city, you're a virgin. And Jesus can't save you. Life starts when the church is. Came here for school, graduated to the highlight. Ball players, rap stars, addicted to the limelight. Empty in Maine, got you feeling like a champion. The city never sleeps, better slip you an ambient.
Live. We are live for the next hour. This is Let's Talk NFL Football New Year's Eve. Happy New Year to you dogs and poodles out there. Thanks so much for joining us. We are joined today by Eric of the Homeboys Network. By the way, Eric, give us a little information about your website right quick.
Yeah, it's a blog website that we run. It's called homeboysnetwork.com. It's for all Philadelphia sports related, you know, all major sports, basketball, hockey, football, and baseball. Just kind of reaching out to Philadelphia fans out there.
All right. Just saw an interesting article on FoxSports.com. Jason Whitlock, always an interesting guy. He says that according to all reports, Dan Snyder wants to hire former Broncos coach Mike Shanahan to replace Jim Zorn. He also says that he's convincing Andrea Kramer and Chris Mortensen to report that Snyder's interviewing Jerry Gray, who is a black guy, he's being interviewed to be Zorn's successor, even though he's not really being interviewed. He's asking those two to report that news, even if it's not true. Even though it's not true. But two reporters said that's all BS. Dan Snyder has been a critic of the Rooney Rule. The Rooney Rule, by the way, is a rule that requires owners to interview at least one minority candidate when there's a head coaching position, general manager position open. Anyway, what's your opinion on the Rooney Rule, first of all, and then we'll move on from there. What's your opinion?
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, he can sit there and he can say he didn't do anything. You know, I mean, the whole Albert Haynesworth thing, too. I'm surprised more didn't come off from that. But, hey, you know what? The bottom line is they got Albert Haynesworth. I believe that they're going to get Mike Shanahan. Mike Shanahan will be the coach of the Washington Redskins come next year. Zorn will still be in the mix. He might not be the head coach. You know, I mean, he might be in the mix somewhere. But Washington Redskins, I give them 2 to 3 years, and they'll have that NFC East.
Really? Okay. But they have no quarterback. Who's gonna lead them?
All right, let's take into the equation a couple of things. Next year, there's going to be no salary cap for the NFL.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I want to get to that in a couple minutes as well.
Meaning you could pay whoever you want, whatever you want. We're talking about Schneider here, the man who went out and paid $100 million to a man. A man who is notorious for going out and overpaying players left and right.
Yeah.
The guy is going to go out and he's going to find himself a quarterback. And he's going to buy himself a quarterback. He's going to buy that franchise.
Hell yeah, yeah.
A championship. I mean, let's be honest. They're in my division. I don't like them. But back in the 80s, they used to be a great team. And they need that back in that city, in that town, in that organization. They need something there. Because let's be honest, no other team or no other, you know, franchise out of there is doing anything. I don't see the Nationals doing anything anytime soon. So, you know, I mean, the Redskins really need to pick it up, and I think that they're going to. I think that it's going to get answered. I think they're going to start turning some heads in the NFC East.
Yeah. Anyway, the Rooney Rule, what do you think about that?
You know, it's another NFL rule that's, I mean, it's debatable. Majority of the NFL rules out there, you could debate with.
It's almost like the affirmative action in a way.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the bottom line is I'm going to sound like John Madden here, is a lot of people do it, and they're going to continue to kind of play with that fine line there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Let's see. Mike Leach. That's not NFL, but I want to talk about that for a few minutes. Do you think he deserved to get fired?
If he did what they're saying he did, I mean, locking a kid up after he had a concussion, you know, restricting him to certain things and making him have to play, and I mean, come on now. I don't think that that's a question. I think that that's more of a question of not him getting fired, but whether should he do jail time or not. I think what that's about.
Oh, really? But, I mean, the 1980s, and we're in a different generation now, but, I mean, I guess I can call him a friend. He's appeared on the show before. He's a blogger at Black Sports Online. He has some sources that said that the guy's a drama queen, and the president of the university was trying to get him to make the coach do something because he didn't want to pay him a bonus or some crap like that, just all that. I mean, I don't think that's the most extreme thing you can do to a player. And, I mean, if you're disrespecting your coach, I mean, what do you expect? You're going to pay the price.
Hey,
he's the one who brought you.
But I understand that completely, but some of the things that the father is coming out saying that was done potentially. I mean, locking the kid in a room, you know, punishing him by, you know, making him play, things of that nature. Hey, if you have a concussion, you have a concussion, you know. You shouldn't be playing regardless. The NFL is starting to take this matter real serious. I'm not questioning one bit the guy's coaching skills. He's a phenomenal coach. I mean, you know, ESPN's been broadcasting what he's done in that organization. I don't even have to say it. He's completely turned that organization around. He's a phenomenal coach. But, hey, so was Bobby Knight. But he hit players. You know, I mean.
Some people have different ways of discipline. I mean, to me, as long as you discipline your players to respect you, because if you see a team that's not successful, like the Washington Wizards, I'm just bringing up them for example, NBA squad. In my opinion, the reason why they're losing so much, they don't respect Coach Flip Saunders. And, you know, if that respect isn't being conveyed by the players, you got to find a different mechanism to discipline them. And these guys are on scholarships. They're getting paid by the universities, their board, their books, their food, everything. They don't deserve privileges. And if you're not respecting the coaches and the people that are put to authorize and lead you, then I don't think you should be there.
Oh, no, I agree with that 100%. They'll get a rude awakening when they hit the real-life wall. You know, I mean, that's for sure. But at the same time, You know, I mean, in certain situations, if a player is deemed not healthy enough or something of that situation to not play, well, then that player shouldn't have to play. You know, I mean, this isn't military. It's not boot camp, you know. If the kid signed up for boot camp, you know, put the kid, make him do 100 sit-ups, you know, make him scrub the toilet with a toothbrush, whatever. Bottom line is the kid right now is getting nothing out of this besides potentially a wish to go into the NFL, maybe, at its best, you know. So, I mean, I mean, we could argue all day whether it's right or wrong. Was it wrong that he did it? Absolutely. Is the man a good coach? Absolutely.
So, absolutely, All right, we'll move on. I guess let me talk a little college football. If this is serious for this situation with Urban Meyer, his health issues, if it's really serious, like in terms of a heart attack or heart problems, heart disease or something, you think he should resign?
You know,
and what are your opinions on that whole situation anyway?
The man wanted to resign when the season was over. A lot of the players and the coaches, assistant coaches, you know, the organization itself, you know, I mean the whole, you know, alumni talked him back into it. He's like, all right, I'll do it. Poor guy has, you know, what could be, you know, a slight heart issue going on right now. He didn't want it to come out to begin with. Now it's out in the public. You know, thank you, good old media, for that one. And, you know, I mean, I think he's going to continue coaching. I think he should continue coaching. People have had heart attacks before, and they've continued coaching. I mean, Joe Paterno from the Penn State, the guy's what, 150, and he's still coaching? I mean, come on. The guy's practically falling over having a heart attack on the field, and he's still going. If they're gonna, you know, he's going to want to continue coaching. You know, if he doesn't want to, then he'll make that decision. In my opinion, hey, it's money, but at the same time, I think he should walk away because I don't think that Florida's ever going to be as good as they were again, not at least for, you know, a good 8 to 10 years of rebuilding, kind of like how the Miami Hurricanes are doing right now.
Yeah, I agree. Let's move on back to the NFL. My MVP for this year is Ray Rice. Let me go through my top five right quick. Number one, Ray Rice. Number two, Chris Johnson. I was listening to too much Michael Jackson music today. Anyway, number two, Chris Johnson. Number three, Drew Brees. Number four, DeSean Jackson. And number five, Brett Favre. I don't have Peyton Manning on my list. Who are your top five MVPs? By the way, call into the show right now, 347-327-9691 if you want to chime in or join us on the chat. Anyway, Eric, top five MVP.
Well, I think you have to go out there, and I think you have to put number one as Chris Johnson, to be quite honest with you, or Drew Brees, one of those two. Ray Rice is young. Chris Johnson is young. But Chris Johnson came out there, and he has had some absolute amazing games with, to be quite honest with you, not that great of blocking. And a quarterback controversy going on all year. And a team that started 0-6 or 0-7?
Yeah, 0-6.
He went out there every week and he got it done. Every single week. As a fantasy player and as a fantasy owner, I hated going up against Chris Johnson. Because
the dude's
I didn't know if he was going to tear you up for 50 points or if he was going to have a normal game in his standards of like 25 points.
Who's on your fantasy team, by the way?
My fantasy team, well, I played in a couple of them, but the one that I actually did successful in one at, I had Phillip Rivers, Adrian Peterson. I picked up Ricky Williams at the end of the draft, if you could believe that. and there was 12 players in the league. It was fun, but I didn't like my team going into it. I thought my other teams were better. But, hey, I ended up winning it somehow, some way.
Ah.
I mean, you got to put Drew Brees right up there as number two, potentially, because the guy has taken his career to a point where the San Diego Chargers are drafting Eli Manning, trading him because he cried. He wanted to go to New York because he's a little baby.
Yeah.
So he wanted to go to New York. So he went to New York. They got Phillip Rivers, who is a baby as well. He cries as well. But to be honest with you, I think Phillip Rivers is a better quarterback than Eli Manning. You put Eli Manning in the pocket, give him protection. You put Phillip Rivers in the pocket, give him protection. Phillip Rivers make that pass 10 out of 10 times. Eli Manning nine, maybe 8 out of 10 times.
Yeah.
But regardless, Drew Brees, this guy has came out of nowhere. He was a Charger. He went to New Orleans, resurrected his career, and look at him. I mean, he had probably 3 or 4 games this year where you scratched your head. But other than that, I mean, the guy has been on a rampage this year.
Yep. College football update real quick. Navy are your 2009 Texas Bowl champs, and Oklahoma are your 2009 Sun Bowl champs. What's up with all these bowls? You think there should be a playoff in college football? I'm going back and forth. My bad.
Yeah, college football is... That's a tricky one because you got the BCS. The BCS a lot of times is garbage to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, because you know a team should be better ranked than what they really are. You know, just because they haven't lost a game doesn't mean that they're better than a team that's lost 2 games to, like, a team like Ohio State and Michigan or something of that nature.
That's exactly what I think. Yep.
It's a difficult rating, you know. The thing that I do like about college football is their overtime. That's the only thing I like about college football. I love the fact that the players play because money is not involved. That's the cool thing about it, too. It's all about heart, and it's all about pride of your team and pride of the college that you go to. But, you know, I mean, there's a lot of bowl games now. It seems like every team is in a bowl game. You could go 0-1 whatever, and you're in a bowl game. Just the way college is going right now, and hey, so be it.
Yeah.
It keeps some viewers interested, I guess. Not me.
I agree 100%. Let's move on. Biggest NFL story of the last decade, in your opinion, what was it?
Wow.
Yeah.
The last decade.
As we close this decade, I know that's going to take some time. Let me let you think about that real quick. Which NFL player has the best Twitter account? I know you're pretty active on Twitter, or you're not, are you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ocho Cinco,
I agree.
Hands down, you know? The Ocho Cinco Network, come on.
They've only broken one story, though. His coach said he's not going to sit his players, but until Sunday night, I'm not going to listen to that.
I don't know. But going back to the question that you asked before, in this decade, you know, it's so recent, but I think it's something that will be looked upon for years, and people will kind of say, why? They'll laugh about it. Some people might cry about it. Some people might say, hey, it was a smart move. Some people say it's a stupid move. You got to say Brett Favre leaving the Packers, going to the Jets,
mm-hmm.
asking the Jets to be taken off of their list. And the very second that it was mentioned that Brett Favre was taken off that list, if you were any type of sports fan, you knew he was going to Minnesota. You just knew it.
Yep.
That Brett Favre was going to go to Minnesota. I'm not sitting here. I don't have a Brett Favre man crush at all, you know? One bit. There's a lot of things the guy does that I'm like, wow, he's a piece of you-know-what.
Yeah.
But the fact that he retired, what, 3 times now from the NFL?
Yep.
And he's came back? That's kind of funny, and that's something that I think you'd look back on and you'd say, hey, this guy retired, but he came back. And usually when people retire and come back, it's one of those things where it's like a Michael Jordan episode where you're like, ooh, yeah, you should have just stayed retired.
But Brett Favre.
You can't say that in his case. You got to give the guy some props. In the last 10 years, I mean, there's that, and I mean, gosh, I don't know. Maybe the David Tyree's catch against the Patriots to stop going perfect season, you know?
Yeah. Nice. You took me back. I was just looking back at the memories, the good old days of the NFL. Do you think Roger Goodell has too much power?
No, I think he mans a good ship, to be honest with you. I think he takes people in, he gives them a fair chance. He assesses all the situations that he has going on. I think he does it pretty well. And I think the outcomes of them are very well, too. I mean, I think he's got a warm heart, too much of a warm heart sometimes, and I think he lets players come back. Like, I don't know if I would have let Mike Vick back right away. I don't know if I would have let Pac-Man Jones back the fifth time. Maurice Claret. I mean, there's a lot of players that we can go on and on about that have kind of fiddled the puppet master thing a little too long, you know? I mean, I hate to say it because he really was turning his life around and making good choices. But
Chris
one Henry. Of those players was the late Chris Henry, who was just kind of, you know, I mean, he was really going down a hard path, and then I guess he started turning around at the end there. Good, you know, I mean, great for him. Kudos to him. And, you know, the way that I said it was, if you're gonna go out, you know, you better go out on the good side, because I believe in God, and if there is a God, and if you go out bad, well, then you're screwed for the rest of your eternity. You know, but if you go out good, then hey, good for you. You know, and he did. You know, he did well, and you know, I feel bad for Ocho though for that.
Yeah, that was a sad story. What really got me was when Ocho was getting emotional. And I look at this guy; he's a macho man, and he's getting all emotional. That sucked right there. That story was just terrible, 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 terrible. Let's move on to the Colts real quick. We have 3 minutes left in the hour. Colts set their players last week. I think we've discussed this. Let's not even go over that because I think we've discussed this already. I was going to ask, do you think they owe it to their fans to, start their players? But we've gone over that.
Yeah, at this point it doesn't matter because they already lost.
Best NFL team of the decade. My opinion, 2001-2002 Patriots.
Yeah, Patriots hands down. No team has been better in the past decade, as much as I hate to say it.
Yeah. 5 surprise teams, good or bad this year?
The 5? I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Give me 5 teams that surprised you in a good or bad way this year.
Let's see. The Tennessee Titans starting off the way they started off.
Yeah.
The Pittsburgh Steelers, what the heck?
I wasn't surprised. No.
Losing to Oakland, Kansas City, or no, did they win that game in Kansas? Maybe they lost.
No, they lost against
City,
Kansas City.
Cleveland, come
Believe
on.
Me, I was happy when I saw that game.
I don't know how that happened. Let's see, what else? Miami Dolphins, good for them. Ricky Williams, good for you.
Yeah.
Let's see, who else? The Oakland
Raiders.
Comeback
kid.
Yeah, he really is. The Oakland Raiders never amazed me. A prime example of you can spend all the money in the world, but there's still no I in team. let's see, who else? The New York Giants, thank you. You always allow us Eagles in, no matter how you do it.
Yeah.
I thought for sure that the Giants were going to win that division, but they didn't. The Atlanta Falcons.
They were a shocker.
What the heck is going on with them? They improved their team all the way around the board and did worse than they did last year. But I mean, you know, I think that the way that this year is going to wrap up in football is I think that it's going to be and I'm not saying this because I'm an Eagles biased fan, but I think it's either Minnesota or the Eagles versus the San Diego Chargers.
Ah, interesting. Interesting, interesting. I have the Eagles against the Colts. That's my early prediction. I think San Diego is stoppable, in my opinion, and I don't think they're up to par. I don't think you're going to see the same San Diego that we've seen, in December. But anyway, thank you. Tell us your tweet, your Facebook, your website, your blog, everything. Tell us. Where can we go to find out more info about yourself?
Yeah, it's just www.homeboysnetwork, and that's HOMBOYZ network.com. We talk all about Philly sports. Stop by, drop a line, whatever the case is. My name's Eric. I'm the main author there. We have a couple of other authors, and we also chat up a lot on a forum called Pro Sports Daily. It's a good place. But yeah, stop by, check us out. Thanks for having me here, and I hope you have a good new year.
Same to you. Happy new year, and I appreciate you joining me. It was an honor and pleasure, and I'll be checking your blog out. You're welcome to stay with us if you'd like, but you can go on to your New Year's activities. I appreciate you joining us.
All righty. Take care now.
All right. You too. Peace. Bye. All right. Eric of Homeboys Network. You can go log on to his website, homeboysnetwork.com. Appreciate him for joining us. I got this little mix for you. You're going to like it. We're not done with our football talk yet, but I guess we're taking a break while we wait for our second call-in person. I got somebody who wants to chat with me on Facebook, so I'm going to go do that while we wait for our second person to call in. Oh, he has called in. All right. Georgia Taya is joining us right now. Did I say your name right, sir?
It's Atala. How are you tonight?
Atala. How you doing, man?
I'm really good. How are you?
I'm fine. We'll get to you in a moment. Let's play some music real quick. We got Ayaz Replay. It's been top in the charts, and it's on right now. Georgia Taya. Sorry, I'm messing up your name. Excuse me, I'm so sorry. Sorry. Anyway, let's get to the music real quick. Ayaz Replay right now.
But then you came closer, hoping you would give me a chance. Who would have ever knew that we would ever be more than friends? A friend won't quite break all the rules. She like a song, play to get in the jazz. That girl, like something of a poster. That girl, is a damn they say. That girl, is a gun to my holster. She's running through my mind all day. Hey, Charlie's like a melody.
All right, we're back. I needed some time to repair real quick. I'm sorry. But we're back now. This is The Big Show with JK Live. Let me update you real quick. My name is Jesse Corangu. Thank you so much for joining us. The time right now is 8:03 p.m. Eastern Time. Call into the show right now, 347-327-9691. We have a representative from the NFL Players Association joining us, and you can call in if you have some questions for him. I appreciate you for coming on. Let's get right started. Some NFL owners have stated that they feel that there is no need to continue a revenue-sharing agreement that benefits small city teams like the Cardinals, Bengals, Bills, and Jaguars, just to name a few. Why is the Players Union concerned with this fund being depleted?
We're concerned because we think that revenue sharing is one of the principles for the way that the business of the NFL is structured. It gives those teams a chance every year to win. And if you look at the division leaders today, 6 of the 8 division leaders are small market teams that benefit the most from revenue sharing. And I think that it's just that the popularity of our sport has grown so much because the model has worked for so long, and every team feels like they have a chance, and every fan base feels like their team has a chance. And we just don't want it to turn into a baseball model.
Explain to the listeners and the fans of the NFL what it means, I mean, competition-wise, since next year will be an uncapped year and this revenue-sharing agreement is gone.
Well, the supplemental revenue-sharing agreement will be essentially suspended next year, which means that teams that would be getting their money next year will still get it. It'll impact the following year. In other words, from the total revenue number in the NFL this year, which we think is a little more than $8 billion, a portion of that money goes to help the smaller market teams. Whatever's collected this year will be distributed next year. The collection system will stop next year, and that's what we're challenging.
All right. Just to hear that figure, $8 billion, and the owners are being greedy. I mean, I don't understand why they don't want to give up money. But some skeptics may argue that players' salaries deserve to be lower. With people like Pac-Man Jones in the world, they don't deserve all these millions of dollars that they get and that they're being overpaid by these teams. So if there's less money going around with NFL teams and they get less money, what would you say to those skeptics?
I think, first of all, football has been a business that has benefited not just the players, the owners, and the fans, but also businesses across America have benefited from the overall sport. I've been fortunate enough to visit a number of NFL cities this year, Pittsburgh being one of them, where I was struck by the local businesses that were really impacted by the stadium revenue. I mean, we were talking to bar owners and restaurant owners down by Heinz Field, and you know, stadium revenues or revenues on game day for those restaurants are 8 to 12 times what they are on a regular day. Same thing in Boston and New England with the Patriots and a lot of other stadiums across the country. So, you know, the sport, I would say that the sport is much bigger than the players and the owners, and certainly you can argue that there have been some players that have quote-unquote, behaved poorly. But the overall majority of them, frankly, are good citizens that contribute to their communities in a number of ways that are not even reported. And that's part of our job, is to tell that story.
True. This agreement with the owner's revenue sharing agreement and the salary cap are two totally different things, correct?
They're different in the sense that they function differently, but they're connected. I mean, it's all intertwined, and that's one of the reasons why we wanted to challenge this so fervently.
Okay. What are the chances of a lockout in 2012? Sorry, 2011.
Yeah, right now, I mean, unfortunately, things are a little rocky in there. We don't typically talk about what goes on in the negotiating sessions because they are pretty intense, and we do want to maintain some semblance of confidentiality in there. But, you know, frankly, it's a challenge right now for us. And we've always said that we want a deal before March of 2010, which, you know, in a few short hours, it'll be 2010. And we'll have 3 months to get a deal done from the player's perspective. We just don't want to leave anything to chance. So we still haven't figured out. You know, the core question of this whole thing is, when the owners opted out of the agreement in May 2008, they stated that the system doesn't work, that the revenues are too tilted towards the players, And our only response to them has been, prove it. And frankly, thus far, they've fallen a little short of that.
All right. Fans are going to be hearing about this story on the NFL Network and ESPN throughout Super Bowl week and throughout the off season. So I want you real quick to break down for the fans what the players' union is seeking in this new collective bargaining agreement that you're trying to negotiate. Break it down in English.
Well, there are two types of issues. There are economic issues that deal with the percentage of total revenue that's given to the players, salary cap, rookie scale, anything that has to do with the numbers business of football. And then there are what we call non-economic issues, ones that deal with discipline policy, off-season workout programs and regulations, return-to-play guidelines for health and safety issues. Those are non-economic issues. So, frankly, the players right now are responding to the NFL's opting out and their agenda. So it's hard for us to say, you know, what specific issues we'd be looking to change, short of, frankly, looking at the big picture. And we just have to right now continue to look at the big picture.
All right. Let's move on, I guess. In an Outside the Lines report on ESPN with your new leader, Damari Smith, they were showing former players and himself going to D.C. to lobby Congress to help out with the negotiations. You saw Nancy Pelosi there and some other politicians. Anyway, this time of high employment, why does the players' union see it appropriate to involve Congress in negotiations that involve billions of dollars when Americans are without jobs and the economy is down?
The misperception about Congress and the NFL is that it isn't already involved. The fact is that Congress is already involved by virtue of the antitrust exemptions that Congress grants the NFL. The NFL can go out and negotiate favorable television contracts, for example, that they can share and split across the entire league. So Congress is already involved. I think that our mission of going up on the Hill was to inform members of Congress that a storm is brewing and the league may consider taking football off the table without really just cause, and that they have a responsibility, the members of Congress do, to merely enforce and engage in a place that they have granted the NFL a tremendous set of advantages over any other businesses in America.
All right. Nice response there. The players' union, how do you guys plan to change the perception about it being not being worried about retired players who are suffering ailments? I want to play this clip for you from Bruce Laird. This is from the Outside the Lines report.
Sure.
He was talking about the players' union and how they don't really care about retired players.
Laird says he received a call from Smith the day after the NFLPA election, inviting him to become part of Smith's transition team. Laird agreed, but says so far he has felt mostly resistance at the meetings he has attended.
Everybody's using us. Now it's the CBA. Now all of a sudden retired players are important. Where have we been for the last 35 years? From both entities, from the owner side and the union side. Who has cared about retired players in the past 35 years?
All right. How do you plan on showing retired players right now and after the CBA is done being negotiated that you guys actually care about them and these ailments and these concussions that they've been suffering?
Well, for us, it's not a perception problem. I mean, I think our actions speak much louder than words. And we've done so much in the past 8 months on retired player issues that we're really proud of.
For example?
We have, on the concussions issue in particular, we've driven that issue to the Hill and had high-level hearings on it. We have formed our own traumatic brain injury committee to independently look at the impact of concussions and head trauma on NFL players long term. that just gives us an opportunity not just to collect the data, but to come up with a plan for active and former players that suffer from potential damaging problems to get them solutions in the long term. We've held a number of retired player meetings, both in Washington and across the country, to take on their issues, to really look at what are the things that they want. I mean, look, here's the thing with the former players. We recognize full well that the history between the union and the former players has been somewhat dodgy, and perception to us doesn't matter as much as doing the right thing. And frankly, it's been 8 months. Former players that want to pass judgment, like Mr. Laird, they have every right to do so, and you know, we still will welcome them at the table to hear their thoughts. But we will continue to push for their rights, to push for their benefits, and to push for, frankly, better treatment.
All right, let's move on. I know your time's running out, so
yep.
Real quick, I wanted to understand something. Chris Henry, the tragic death of Chris Henry, that was
yep.
terrible, sad. So this whole retirement insurance thing with the NFL players, how does that work? Does Chris Henry's family get any compensation from the NFL? And do the NFL players pay retirement money and stuff like that? I wanted to know how that all works.
All NFL players have a benefits plan and a retirement plan. I mean, I'd prefer to not discuss the Henry situation in specific.
No, I don't really want specifics, but
yeah, but rather to say that players that are in the league for more than 3.5 years are automatically vested in the NFL's benefits program and in the NFLPA's benefits program as well, and so that entitles them to a certain amount of, you know, life insurance and benefits and things of that sort.
Okay. My final question, since I know it's going to run, it's New Year's Eve, so you're doing your own thing.
Yes,
this
indeed.
week 17, the playoff picture is not really clear yet. Who do you see breaking out the pack and winning it all?
Well, I'm disappointed as a Giants fan that my team let me down, but people are going to be surprised when I say this, but I actually think the Eagles, Eagles and the Saints are my favorites in the NFC. And
okay.
Then in the other side, I can't see the Chargers and the Colts losing, but you never know. I mean, New England and Brady can get hot, and you know, to kind of tie everything back together, that's one of the reasons why the structure, the business structure of the league is so phenomenal, is because right up until the last week, you know that there every single team has a chance. And we just want to try to maintain that and preserve that. And, you know, I'm frankly gearing up for a great weekend of games and a great set of playoff games.
All right. I know you got to run, so I appreciate you for joining me for these couple minutes. Again, introduce yourself to us where we can find you on Twitter.
Oh, you guys can find me on twitter.com/GAtala, GATALLAH.
All right, George Atala, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. Thanks for having me on, and hope we can do it again.
Hopefully so. Thank you.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye. Hopefully we'll have him on as the negotiations continue. Let's take a break right quick. I was playing Ayaz Replay. I didn't play the whole song, but I'm going to play the whole song right about now.
Approach you, but then you came closer, hoping you would give me a chance. Who would have ever knew that we would ever be more than friends? A railroad wife breaking all the rules. She like a song played again and again. That girl, like something of a poster. That girl, is a damn they say. That girl, is
That dude is signed with Beluga Heights. That's the same record company as Sean Kingston. Sean Kingston! And who else? Who else? Who's the other guy on Beluga Heights? There's a guy I interviewed a while back. His name is Mann, M-A-N-N. He's on Beluga Heights as well. There's somebody else I'm missing. Who is it? Is it Jason Derulo? I'm not sure. Speaking of Jason Derulo, he wants to know right now what you say.
Thank you.
All right, we back. So it was Jason Derulo. Homeboysnetwork.com is still with us. Who is winning Rookie of the Year? Call in if you want to join us again. Tell us. You can call in. It's all good. And anybody else listening, you can also call in 347-227-969. When I'm taking music requests real quick, we'll play them towards the end of the show. Time right now is 8:26 p.m. I hope you're enjoying yourself. I'm on Twitter right now just chilling back, ready for the new year, ready for this decade to be over. In my opinion, this decade has had some sad and happy moments. Over this past decade, I lost two family members. I also went to the dream high school of mine, but I didn't do so well grade-wise, but I'm bringing them up. You know what it is. You got to do your thing for education, you know. But this decade, in my opinion, has had good and bad moments. But for me, this year, 2009, was just really real sad. I don't know what it was about 2009. It was just sad. From June 25th, 2009, the death of Mr. MJ, that was sad right there. I don't even know how to describe that day. But, you know, that's life. People die. Things happen. So, you know, I'm on Twitter right now, as I said before. And on Twitter, one of the trending topics is 09 memories. What are your memories of 2009? One person said, quote, Beyonce had the greatest video of all time. Yeah, I'm sure you guys remember that. Somebody else said Barack Obama. Enough said. I agree with that. Barack Obama, wow, that was inspirational, the inauguration. I can remember in school watching the inauguration. That's something I'll never forget. I'll tell my grandkids about that. I'll tell my great-great-grandkids about that. And if God blesses me, I'll tell my great-great-great-great-grandkids about that. I mean, that was amazing. Just that a black man, after so many years of just ruthless treatment for African Americans, we finally saw an African American in office. And the best part about it, he was Kenyan, like me. Woo! you know, that was amazing. Let's go on. Somebody said, go hard on them, all in all them 365 days. Okay. Somebody said meeting David Archuleta and going to some of his concerts. You know, these American Idol guys haven't really been successful. I think maybe Carrie Underwood and Kelly Clarkson are probably the only successful people on American Idol. Interesting. Hopefully we'll have a discussion about American Idol sometime in January or March. Somebody else on Twitter said when Michael Jackson died, I swore I lost a family member. And that's the way I felt. And, you know, all these rumors about Michael Jackson being gay and him doing some nasty stuff with some girl. With some kids, little kids, 6-year-olds. That's all bullcrap to me. I can't see him doing that. Because when you look at it, somebody who never had a childhood, somebody who never, because he was just making music the whole time in the recording studio the whole time. I mean, if he never had a childhood, he had nobody to play with. And, you know, Michael was born being a little more, I guess, how do you describe it, a little bit more feminine. So, yeah, I don't know if that's the right word to use, but, you know, he didn't know how to react to not being able to play with little kids like everybody else. He didn't have a normal childhood like everybody else, so he wanted to, when he had all this money, he wanted to be able to live that childhood. So I think all this crap about him abusing kids and stuff, that's all bull crap. I don't believe it worth a second. And, you know, it's up to God to judge. Only God knows what really happened. I hope he didn't do that. But, again, it's up to God. There's another trending topic on Twitter. 10 years ago, what were you doing? Somebody says, I was in the studio making music. Somebody says, I was getting ready to go to a Y2K party watching Peter Jennings celebrate the new year. Now I'm home in my warm bed. Somebody else says, I was an innocent 7-year-old girl that had no worries. Boy, you're 17 now. I'm sure you do have worries. Somebody else says, I was a stunt double in 12 Bollywood films. J-Ho! Have you ever seen that movie, Slumdog Millionaire? I haven't. I want to see that. Seems interesting. What were you doing 10 years ago? What was I doing 10 years ago? How old am I? I'm 16, so that means I was 6 10 years ago. And then when this decade is over, I'm going to be 26. That's crazy. That is crazy. In 2010, what are you going to be? What are your predictions? People are tweeting their predictions and hopes for 2010. Somebody predicts in 2010 some celebrity is going to go downhill and going to leak a sex tape and pretend that they didn't know because somebody stole it. That happens every year, honey. That's nothing new. let's see what else. Nothing interesting. Just people making predictions about their own personal lives. But, you know, let's take a look back at 2009 politically first. JibJab.com comes up with a 2009 year in review every year of what has happened in the 2000s. Let me stop saying 2000. Let me start all over again. JibJab.com. They usually come up with videos about what happens during the past year. And they had a video this time. And I want to share it with you guys real quick. It's JibJab.com presents Year in Review 2009. Basically, the theme is there was never a year like 09. Let me just stop describing it and let you listen right now. It's a little funny. Depends on if you... depends on your sense of humor. Let's just play this because my tongue is twisting. Let's go.
All the years that have passed in time, no, there have never been one like 09. 43 was pushed out the door, and 44's a bit darker than before. There was war in Afghanistan, and a Twitter revolt in Iran. There was Crowley and Gates, and don't forget John and Kate. No, there was never a year like 09.
Come on, you're
a surprise, no matter what.
We're on the body.
was. All right. Anyway, there was never a year like 09. And there's a DJ. His name is DJ Skills. He's from Virginia. He has a very nice compilation of. He has a 2009 wrap up of the things that happened in 2009. Let me give that to you in real quick. But real quick, homeboysnetwork.com. Eric. He says that he thinks Brian Cushing. He's the USC native, USC player. The guy who used to play for USC. He thinks that Brian Cushing is deserving of the Rookie of the Year. And he says that the man is a beast. DJ Skills of Virginia's 2009 wrap-up. Believe me, you're going to be entertained. Check it out right now.
Check. Yo, yo, I'm about to put this thing in gear. 09's out of here. 2010 is in the building. Time for a new year. Your boy Skills back on his grind. Let's run it back and recap 2009. DC starts off the conversation. Cause we was in your town for the inauguration. We froze our asses off. It wasn't just me. That was a small price to pay to see history. Biggie's movie came out and got shine. Neo and Jim Jones got to strapping up in Louis Vuitton. TVs went digital. The government's lame. Y'all bought some boxes? Your shit still look the same. And I don't care about the fate of John and Kate. You feel sorry for anybody, it should be the plus eight. Having seven siblings can't be calm. But I take 20 of them before I take one Octomom. 50 and Rick Ross, that's a new level of beat. LeBron got dunked on and he ain't want us to see it. The news of Chris and Rihanna, broke in the street. T-Pain got on that golf cart and broke some teeth. Tiny and Toya got a show, that's crazy. China, you gon' get a second season?
Yeah, baby.
Run DMC, they got their own streak. And JoJo got caught trying to spark that leak. Man, the game is bananas. For playing hip-hop, me and Jazzy Jeff got kicked out of Kansas. Rick Ross says was phony and fake. Enter a newcomer by the name of Drake. The industry got to get it in gear. Cause it's bad when the mixtape is really the album of the year. And this beard wasn't bad, but I was mad at the rest I never had. Eminem and Mariah sounded bitter. And we all took to this new thing called Twitter. Where you can follow beats just to see what they say. And if you want it, you can follow me at SkillsVA. Bernie Madoff? He was playing for Keith. Amber Rose became famous without having to speak. Black Eyed Peas rode deep. They blacked the Perez Hilton's eye and made him pee in the middle of the street. Lil Wayne did it big. He said he wanted the Asperger girl in the world. And I think he did. Chris Brown? Now that's my guy. But how you do an interview? And all y'all notice is the bow tie. The media went hard. Chris, you want us to forget? Just say what really happened in the car. Rihanna, she kept quiet until she had an album to sell, but we still ain't buy it. Nope. Mike Vick and AI back in action, and we were shocked by the loss of Mr. Michael Jackson. I never thought that star would fall to the ground. Mike was huge, the news shut the internet down. Through your music, you live on, my friend, and I know we'll never see a talent like you again. I got a man up, cause even I was a fan of the Real Housewives of Atlanta. I love Candy's song, but that Kim,
that's a dirty low-down monkey with a wig on.
Charlie for the party brought us some joy, but it never left the ground, just like the Balloon Boy. And to the parents, I'ma say why lie. He named him Falcon, but that ain't mean he can fly. As far as R&B goes, Trey Songz the guy. And I'm a grown man, but I'm scared of Lady Gaga. Drake's knee kept saying, hey, bro, just sit. Kanye snatched the mic from Taylor Swift. Then the world couldn't stand it.
I'm really happy for you. I'm let you finish.
Man, I think he playing that. The government? Yeah, they think they slick. What happened to Cash and Clunkers? That came and went. The Hangover was funny as hell. And so were the rappers who couldn't stay their ass out of jail. Jay-Z went on Oprah and hit number one. She gave out a lot of chicken, but she ain't get him none. H1N1 is causing drama. And we was all shaking our heads at Lil Mama. Like, why wasn't you on stage? Nobody gave you a cue. And with a head that big, you should have thought that through. Nicki Minaj gave female MCs some help. But if she signed your boob, you should be ashamed of yourself. Whitney Houston got back to working. The kids came up with this thing called jerking. where you take dancing and rapping, combine the two. Newsflash, come on, son, that ain't nothing new. Nas and Khalid, they couldn't get that thing back. Diddy, holla at me if you want that ring back. Jamie, he blamed it on the alcohol, and maybe that's what made J-Lo fall. Healthcare got passed, and that's what's good, but the idiot of the year is Tiger Woods. Can you say fail? Who else is named Tiger? Why would you leave your name on the voicemail? He changed the game, I suppose. It's nothing. Who'd have thought he was putting 18 holes? See, I came home after 7 months. I can't watch Monique's show, cause she yelled too much. And we mourn this year. I got to say, every other day, somebody passed away. Mr. Magic, Rock Raider, my man Bartek, Darion, and my friend AM. It was a very sad year, to say the least. So to everybody we lost, rest in peace. Your boy Skills, and I did it again. Welcome in y'all in 2010.
Wow. Didn't you like that? That was hard. DJ Skills, S-K-I-L-L-Z, from the VA, with a mix. 2009 wrap-up, basically summing up the events of 2009. 2009 was a great, sorry, not a great, it was a sad year, as I said before. Real quick, here's, I guess, a little positive. A group from Puerto Rico, they're called Nota. They had a little, they were on the Sing-Off, a show called The Sing-Off on NBC, and they basically had nothing. They were poor. So they were a cappella group, and they decided they should try out for this show. And this show, if you win the show, then you get a recording contract, and you win like $1 million and stuff. They did a rendition of Jay Sean's Down. Check it out. And they won. They won the recording contract and $1 million. So they came up from nothing, and they made something out of themselves in 2009. So that was a great moment. That was something a lot of people probably missed. But, you know, 2009 had some up and downs, mostly downs. And speaking of down, we've got the real version of Jay Sean from Young Money. And he's asking the question with Lil Wayne, are you down? Thank you. Deshaun, Weezy F Baby, is called Down, and it was topping the charts in 2009. Actually, if you listen to my 09 in review show from Monday, or was it Tuesday? It was Tuesday, my bad. Deshaun Down was the number one song of 2009, in my opinion. I hope you listened to that, and if you didn't, when you're done listening to us right here live, because we are live right now, and if you don't believe me, the time right now is 8:48 p.m. So there you go. We are live. Anyway, after you're done listening to me at 9 o'clock, go ahead. I know you're bored. Please just go listen right quick. You know, I was trying to decide whether I should go out to church on New Year's Eve or just spend New Year's Eve at home watching my boy Dick Clark and Ryan Seacrest do their thing on ABC. I decided I'll stay at home. And speaking of that, I'm going to be watching that. It's going to be on ABC. They got Carrie Hilson. They got a whole bunch of people. What's the girl's name? Selena Gomez. That's right. They got a whole bunch of people. It's going to be fun. It's going to be popping. And it's live from Times Square. So that's what I'm going to be doing New Year's Eve. I hope you have fun this New Year's Eve. And I hope this decade brings much more joy than this past decade, or this past year, did. Because this past year, in America in general, it was just not the best year, I would say, with all these people that died, and the economy, and the jobless rate just decreasing by the day. Honestly, I wish Obama would have had a better year. And I'm sure, believe me, one thing I wish is that Obama would have ran, like, later, like somebody else should have come in and fixed the economy and fixed the jobs rate. Then once somebody does that, then Obama can come in and do what he wants to do. Because believe me, I'm sure when Obama was thinking about running for president, he wasn't thinking about coming to change the economical structure of this country. He was thinking about changing education and, you know, stuff like that. But sadly, because of greedy Americans, he couldn't do that. But, you know, at least he's doing something, and that's something I want people to know. What did George Bush do, honestly, his last term? The first term, I'm not going to lie, he actually tried to do something, but this term, he didn't really do anything. So at least Mr. Obama, or President Obama, is trying to do something. It's better than nothing, let's just say that. And, you know, eventually, hopefully, he'll get successful. Even if you don't like President Obama, you should pray for him because he's the leader of our nation. So pray for your boy, Mr. Obama, so that this nation can prosper again like it did in the old times. 2009, interesting year. I asked my friends on Facebook, what are your New Year's resolutions and what is your favorite moment of 2009? Two friends responded, Brianna responded and said her favorite moment of 2009 was when she deleted her Facebook account. Interesting response from her. Okay. Kofi, my friend Kofi, he says that his New Year's resolution is to get straight A's this year. Well, hope you do that, Kofi. Hopefully you do that in this new year. I was talking to you guys before about that New Year's party that's going to be on ABC with Dick Clark and some other guys. And Ryan Seacrest, this next person is also going to be part of the party, and you'll be surprised. He signed with Usher, and I actually like the kid. He actually has pretty decent music. I'm sure a lot of people are going to be like, what is wrong with you, Jesse? Why do you listen to this guy? He sings like a 9-year-old girl. But I actually like him. He's all right. He's all right. And, you know, he's going to be performing at Times Square. He's performing in Las Vegas for Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve. And he's on right now. He wants to tell you girls one time. His name is Justin Bieber. Bieber one time, Big Show with JK Live. You know, it's been a blessing and honor to have this show now for the past 2 years. And I guess if you count my recorded shows on Podomatic.com that nobody listened to, 3 years, I guess. It's been a blessing. And as we close out this decade, I hope that this show grows and grows and grows. And hopefully by the next decade, we'll be actually on real radio. Not on internet radio. So that's one prediction, or I guess hope that I have for the next decade. The Big Show on JK is on real radio and not on internet radio. But we still have 10 years to go for that to come true. But honestly, for the past 2 years, thank you to all the listeners who have supported the show and have listened. I appreciate it. And as we close out this decade, I saw this post on Facebook, and it's a phrase that I hope you live by for this next decade. And it was a phrase that was used in the Disney movie called Meet the Robinsons, which I just saw for the first time last week. It's a phrase that's keep moving forward. You know, in life, there's times when you just don't know if you can keep moving forward, if you can, if you can recover from a struggle that you may go through. But here's a lesson from the great Walt Disney. Keep moving forward. Don't go back. Just keep moving forward. I hope you have a great New Year's Eve. Happy New Year. God bless. Stay breezy. Stay cool. Peace. God is love. And adios. My name is Jessica Rango, and hopefully in this new decade, you will find peace, joy, love, patience, kindness, self-control, happiness, health, and everything in between. We have been on internet radio for the 2 years of the past decade, and hopefully we'll be on for the next decade on real radio, as I said before. We close out this decade on the big show with JK with a song that is probably going to be a huge hit in 2010. One of my new favorite artists, his name is Jay Sean. He has a song with Lil Jon. It's called Do You Remember? My name is Jesse Karangu, and bye-bye.
Hey, Jay Sean. Hey,
somebody.
Yeah. Let's just, this one right here. Oh, for the sake of me, I want to take it down. Thank you.
remember Jay Sean, Lil Jon. Yes, we remember all the times that we've had, but keep moving forward in this next decade, and whatever life brings you, just keep moving forward again and again and again. God bless. Peace. I'm out. This is Jesse Karanga for the last time in the decade of the 2000s saying adios. Peace. I'm out.